Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call, and this is a show where we talk about any number of aspects of that admonition from Revelation 18:4 that says, come out of her, my people, do not participate in her sins so that you do not partake of her plagues. As I've said for quite a while now, I think it's increasingly obvious that both the nature of the sins and the nature of the plagues are increasingly apparent. I don't think we've gotten anywhere close to seeing all of them really come to full fruition yet, but I have no doubts that we will. So what I have been doing for the last several weeks is talking about what I hope are some interesting aspects of how that might unfold, and in particular, some of the things that are perhaps a little bit less obvious that we need to be aware of and planning for as things really start to, well, hit the proverbial fan. What I'm going to do today is work my way up to what I'm going to call a thought experiment. Let's literally talk our way through some of the potential scenarios, see how they might play out, and basically, I think that'll give us a lot of clues as to how it is that we need to come out, not just that obviously we need to do that, but some of the elements involved and maybe even some of the priorities. So let me start with this. Today, of course, the day that I'm recording this show and doing the live version is December the 7th. We may remember another December 7th, 1941, a day that it was said would live in infamy. It was a day of at least a sneak attack. Some people were surprised. I don't think Franklin Delano Roosevelt was surprised. Lots of historians have suggested that it was provoked. And what's interesting is this, too, is a day where there is a, there's an open attack on America. It's hardly a sneak attack. And at least, in terms of the potential damage to the country, I would suggest arguably it's a lot greater. And we'll talk about some of the specifics there. But what is interesting is that is just one of the elements of this multi-pronged attack on Western civilization, on the entire concept of a biblical-based morality and an understanding of a scriptural worldview and all the things that apply to it. Certainly that would include this concept that we once had a nation based on certain self-evident truths. They're no longer self-evident. They're now denied in the cesspools. The White Whorehouse hates the very concept of God, much less his word, his law, and a constitution that has any relationship to those laws. The whole idea of God-given, once constitutionally protected rights, and so forth. So where does that lead us? How do we relate to what's going on? I want to start by asking some questions and setting up this thought experiment. Again, over the last few weeks, I talked about one aspect of it in some detail, the idea of energy and how energy is fundamental to not only a civilization, but to our personal economy. If you think about it, we have some real advantages. We stand on the shoulders of giants today. We have tools and electricity and diesel and other things that can literally give us huge productivity. We don't have to spend most of our waking lives simply working to provide enough fuel and food, in other words, for ourselves and our families to make it through the next day. We have the ability to even have leisure time and so forth. All of this is made possible by this idea of more energy coming out of the blessings that we have been given because of the result of, investments by our fathers and our fathers' fathers in energy and in infrastructure to provide oil and pipelines and the ability to use diesel fuel to harvest crops and plant crops and ship food and all of those kinds of things. All of that is systematically and deliberately being destroyed. That's part of it. And guess who will suffer most? Those who basically will find that they don't have enough food to put on the table, who don't have enough time in the day to even do what they need to do to keep themselves alive. Many will starve. That is intentional. As the climate begins to cool down, and I think we're going to see that because certainly the scientific evidence, the real stuff as opposed to the crap that people are being taught by COP28 and the climate change BS and the pseudoscientists that are really, let's just be honest, I've used this term before, whores. Because what does a whore do? Well, an honest whore anyway, just sells her body. These whores sell their children. They sell their future. They sell out their integrity. They make the The honest whores look even more honest by comparison, because what they're doing is they're selling a big lie that's intended to destroy everyone else. And that is the worst kind of whoring, in my opinion. And I would suggest history kind of makes that point, too. So in the last few weeks, I guess you could say part of the moral of the story was when it comes to come out of her, we want to come out economically, certainly spiritually and physically, but simply don't allow yourself to be destroyed. They're going to try to make that as difficult as possible. There are going to be some other elements. We'll start by talking about some of those other elements and some of the things that I hope are fairly clear, but certainly they bear repeating and thinking about, because they too are going to set up the thought experiment. So one of the multiple elements that I think we can see coming here is the next plandemic. The next pandemic. We saw a very successful effort. By the way, there were all kinds of trial balloons. If you remember, Zika virus and monkeypox and SARS-1, the original SARS that was really scary but not scary enough. Then we have SARS-CoV-2. Oh, that was the one that got the big prize for having gone global and getting people truly afraid and scared and willing to put on their idiotic mask, destroy their children's brain function before they even learned how to think, before they learned how to read body language and facial expressions. What a satanic effort, folks. But the fact that that first pandemic was so successful and they got so many people to volunteer, to destroy their businesses, to destroy the economy, to kill their children off and inject their children, what does that mean? Well, they're going to do it again. You know that. The next pandemic, plan on it, because they are. Let me mention just a couple of other items to buttress that point. I hope most folks have heard about it. I've certainly talked about it. Many others have. Not, of course, on the Waystream Media. But there was a big deal down under. A fellow who originally used the pseudonym Winston Smith, for those that weren't public school educated, that comes from George Orwell's book, The Protagonist, at least for most of the book, Winston Smith was his name. He worked for the Ministry of Truth, and he rewrote history and eventually figured out what was going on. Well, this Winston Smith, as it turned out, worked for the New Zealand version of the Ministry of Truth, or in their case, Health. He was a database administrator. He was the single guy that had access to all the facts and was able to prove just how many people were killed by their own version of the Zyklon B. Well, it's the same version that was used in most of the world. And as a result, what did the New Zealand government do? Did they admit, oh, we did a bad thing here. We're glad you exposed it, you whistleblower? No. They arrested him, and they tortured him, essentially. I heard him interviewed by Alex Jones. It was a great interview along with Steve Kirsch. He described in detail what was happening here. And I'm thankful that there are brave men who are willing literally to risk their lives to bring the people of the world the truth. Now, based on that data and others, one of the more brilliant statisticians and inventors and basically engineers on the planet, Steve Kirsch, is among several who've come up with some estimates on the minimum number of people that were killed by the Zyklon B injections, the two-part bioweapon. And he says at least 13 million are dead. Other figures say at least 17 million, maybe 20 million. And that, of course, are only the ones where it's known and provable. Doesn't count those that are now dead men walking and that are going to die as a result of decline in their immune system functions or other things that they may already have, like myocarditis and pericarditis and so forth, strokes, blood clots, all of those things. Again, some of them have died. Many, and this was the point of the New Zealand data, many died very shortly after taking their Zyklon B injections. But that was just part one of the death struggle. Worldwide, of course, we have seen huge increases in all-cause mortality, the kinds of things that, as Kirsch points out, far exceed wars, where you thought maybe a lot of people died. But in terms of all-cause mortality, no, worldwide, they were minor blips. A few million here and there. Now think about this 13 million number. Remember how many did Adolf Hitler supposedly kill? 6 million Jews and 6 million others, gypsies and so forth. That's a huge death toll, folks. I'm sure he was thrilled with it, but he wanted more. Well, guess what? Fauci and company and the worldwide death-dealing bioweapons purveyors killed more than Adolf Hitler. And they ain't done yet. They're still killing, and they still got the next plan in the works. So I want to make sure everybody understands just the level of evil and how insidious this is. Now, I've got one more story here that's going to kind of make the transition. In Brazil, they had a communist overthrow. The Bolsonaro Trump of the South was, not quite so ceremoniously overthrown. They had a rigged election, too, and they put in their own communists. And now the Brazilian Ministry of Health, there's a real disgusting terminology, they have now added the COVID-19 vaccine to the country's NIP. In Portuguese, I guess it's different, but it's National Immunization Program. They call it PNI. For children down to the age of 6 months old, they're going to make it mandatory, in spite of the fact that a lot of Brazilians can read, and they know that they were lucky if they didn't die yet to have escaped the first pass of the bioweapon. They're not looking forward to killing their kids. And experts are highlighting concerns about the safety, to put it mildly, of the COVID-19 Zyklon B, the increased incidences of, myocarditis, pericarditis, other conditions among individuals that have no reason to be taking the poison poke anyway. As Pierre Corey points out, why would you mandate an injection for something which essentially doesn't cause any problems for kids? They really didn't have a problem with COVID-19. But on the other hand, you could say that while chickenpox and mumps and measles may have been a rite of passage that was painful for kids, the same thing is true there too. They have injected people with these things with the result that the effects, the eventual danger when the limited immunity from not having had the actual disease and training your immune system to deal with it, when it finally wears off, it's worse. And almost everybody admits that. Okay, so the point is, this is insanity. Well, or is it? Is it insanity or is it just evil? Well, I tend to think it's insane to put up with it, and it's evil when you recognize that this is a satanic agenda that they're getting away with here. So without belaboring a lot of things that I have talked about before and made a huge point about, I do at least want to mention a number of elements. First, we started with this idea of the mother of all revelations in New Zealand, how many people were killed by the vax, and it turns out worldwide minimum, more than Adolf was able to get rid of. We see how it's still not over. If Brazil and the communists there can expand and do it again and kill more kids in spite of the fact that everybody knows how deadly it is, hey, you know darn well they're going to do it. It's a next pandemic. Plan on it because they are. How about the invasion on the southern border? Now, this one's interesting. Just today, the story came out that the Biden Fuhrer and his incentives for come on in, take over the country, have set yet another new record. 12,000 communists and other invaders at the border were encountered. Again, that's a record, even over some of the recent records. We're averaging 10,000 a day or so, it seems. How's that for an invasion, folks? And well, I saw several disturbing videos. One was an invader that managed to get across the border, and he says, "We love Joe Biden. Thank you. You know, we're coming here, and you're giving us everything." Isn't that amazing? And speaking of which, here's a story out of a number of sources, Jim Hoft, Gateway Pundit. It's up in a video. Arizona Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb, truly a guy that has some backbone and obviously integrity, released a video in which he alleged that illegal border crosses, the invaders, many of whom are military-age males, whole lots of them, if you've seen the videos, are from places like China and Africa and all over the world. In other words, they are what the customs folks have called OTMs for quite a while now. And, ready? Once the invaders manage to get across the border, now, you might think they'd be given their orders, right? Like, let's have some communist Chinese generals there to say, okay, you were ordered to go to Houston. You're going to San Francisco. You're going to Chicago. You're going to go out and get ready to blow up some power stations in, you know, whatever place it might be. No, they're not doing that. Instead, says Mark Lamb, they are given a $5,000 Visa gift card once they make their entry into the U.S. Oh, yeah, and a free plane ticket. As Jim Hoff writes, they really do win the lotto when they manage to get over the border. Even if they get help from CBP, I guess they still get the bucks, the rewards. They get an Obama phone. They get a cell phone. They get all kinds of other goodies. And I'm sure they get their orders from their secret cells. As Lamb says, they're military-age men, mostly coming from places like China, from Africa, all over the world. Most of them not even being vetted when they come in here. Why vet them, folks? You already know where they're going to go, at least if you're paying attention. But here's what's really going to bother you. Yep. They get their cell phone, their plane ticket to wherever they want to go in the country, probably a community near you, and their $5,000 Visa card. So while you're struggling this coming Christmas season to keep your lights on, pay your rent, and hope you don't get mugged or blown up by some terrorist somewhere, Big Brother is encouraging them, literally paying them, allowing them to get their rewards and come on in. So this is disgusting. Did I say insane? Yeah, it is insane. So what we have are the three I's at this point, at least one of which is explicitly scriptural. Now, the other two, by the way, are also talked about, at least in terms of the history in scripture. Invasion, insanity, and inversion. What's inversion? Well, you've probably heard this. Calling evil good and good evil, replacing bitter for sweet, inviting the invaders in and telling you it's wonderful, you know, that you don't have food to put on the table and you're going to freeze to death, although we're going to lie to you and tell you about global warming. But don't worry. They're going to take your house after you're dead or buried anyway. They may even come and do it. You're not going to be allowed to defend yourself because we're going to take your firearms away. Ha ha. Did we mention that? I saw a video, disgusting video, of one of the more treasonous senators, and that's saying a lot. Ooh, there are so many candidates there. Dick Durbin, who basically says, here's what we need to do. We need to bring these traitors in, and we need to sign them up and put them in the U.S. military. Because we've already destroyed the military, right? We've given so many people the poison poke, we can't meet our recruitment goals anyway. A lot of young men that are really men, they don't want to come in and have to wear pink and put on a pregnancy outfit and pretend to be birthing boys. And they don't like the idea of trannies in the trenches. And as a result, recruitment has suffered. He says, so hey, here's what we need. By the way, he didn't tell that part of the truth, folks. You knew that already, though. What we're going to do is we're going to bring these illegal invaders in. MS-13, they got their tats and their little teardrops showing how many people they've already killed. Well, let's give them a gun and tell them, yeah, go defend the country. Or maybe you can go just to defend your cartel. How stupid is it? Well, Rome found out the hard way. When you bring people in that intend to kill you and overthrow you and take your stuff and give them gift cards and plane tickets. This is, again, it's insane, it's invasion, and it is an inversion, telling people this is good for them, when in fact, replacement migration, that's a conspiracy theory. No, what it is a gross understatement. So I've just kind of outlined a number of the elements here. My second point, essentially, as I'm beginning to connect some of these dots is, what is going on in the country today is so far beyond unbelievable. It's literally even beyond insanity. I mean, who would have imagined a few years ago that you would have a fake president who literally has to wear an adult Pampers and cannot even tell which way the exit is when he reads his teleprompter some of the time and then bumbles his way off stage, that would be the so-called president and commander-in-chief. I guess that's another reason why recruitment is down. Who wants to be commanded by a blithering idiot? It's bad enough they talk about cake eaters and say, oh, officers and politicians aren't particularly intelligent. Well, that was when they weren't even openly senile. So how much worse is it? Again, no wonder recruitment is down. But the point here is, most Americans would simply not have accepted a few years ago that the U.S. Navy, for example, is literally being destroyed. That they are totally incompetent, that they took the best and the brightest, the pilots and the others, and injected them with the Zyklon B that makes them medically, physically, mentally unfit to fly. There was a lieutenant in the medical corps for the Navy, that Massey, if I remember the name properly, who he too is going to face military discipline for having admitted and come right out and said, hey, the data, which and he's seen internal memos and as a whistleblower tried to provide some of those, but that means you're going to get the axe handed to you, boy, if you don't get your head cut off first. A 900% plus increase, 973 if I remember the number correctly, in terms of heart attacks, myocarditis, and similar kinds of heart ailments affecting, among other things, pilots. This is the U.S. military that they have gutted and destroyed and have literally made pilots unfit to fly. They have made sailors unfit to sail, you name it. This is beyond insane. It's not even beyond, it's beyond self-destructive. It is an attempt to destroy and take over and invade, and most Americans are blithering idiots. I know I use that term a lot, but idiocy is the kindest way to put it. Are they really that blind? They have eyes, but they will not see? Or are they just plain evil? Are they whores? Are they too on the take, like most of Congress and most of the bureaucracy, to the communist Chinese and the others that want to come in and take America's stuff and bring in the invaders to help them do it? How much of this do we need to see before we realize exactly what's going on? Okay, here's one more story that I think at least helps to kind of cement those earlier points. This was a piece from the Daily Mail. And sometimes they point to the truth. Other times they spread the smoke and the BS far and wide. This is one of those cases. Commercial airline pilots, says a huge story today, often feel pressured to lie about their mental health issues for fear of being grounded. Because, well, if they say that they might have a mental issue, they risk losing their medical. The NTSB hosted a summit meeting on mental health and aviation in Washington, District of Criminals. They invited pilots and flight attendants and industry experts, and they heard the following. It's somewhat of an open secret that current rules incentivize people to either lie about their medical history when it comes to mental health or avoid seeking help. The big deal was this guy who was on the magic mushroom. He almost killed some people in Alaska as a pilot. And what they're not telling you, for every one of those cases, there's a pilot that has a heart attack on his way to the airport or on his way on in short final to a landing. That almost happened and killed a whole crew of people not long ago. I've talked about that story many times, but that one was not unique, folks. There are pilots that have died waiting to go to the airport. There are pilots that have died on the ramp. Had heart attacks. There have been emergencies declared. I mentioned this story not long ago. A Squawk 7700 in-flight emergency. A lot of them are medical emergencies. They're up hundreds of percent this year alone. How stupid, how insane is it for the Federal Aviation Agency that tries to get you, the stupid flying public, to think wearing a mask on board a plane where the air is recycled, that will protect you. But don't worry, if the pilot has a heart attack because we injected him with a thing which violates our own aviation medical regs anyway, ha-ha, who cares? Well, you're going to die regardless. The level of, it's not stupidity, it's evil. It is intended to kill and to destroy. And this smoke job from the Daily Mail is infuriating simply because I did a check on this. In this entire article, the word vaccine does not appear. They'll tell you, oh, how awful it is that we got pilots that are refusing to talk about their mental health. They don't want to admit that they've had issues that might require counseling or maybe some other kind of drugs or whatever. But the word vaccine does not appear, not once, in the entire story. Nor do they bother to mention, nor have they ever, as far as I'm aware, the fact that the FAA not only had to disregard their own medical regs, because they say do not issue, do not fly if somebody takes one of these experimental drugs, even if they take it in the first year on the market, a pilot is supposed to be grounded. But guess what? You know what some of the side effects are of myocarditis and pericarditis and blood issues and immune issues? Brain fog, have you heard that one? And shortness of breath. In other words, a lot of kind of things that might cause a pilot to think, oh, I probably shouldn't fly today. But if I tell people the truth, I'll lose my job. Well, that's why I took the damn poison poke to begin with. Are we starting to see a pattern here? When we get back today, what I'm going to talk about are some of the other elements that all of these things point to. Because ultimately, it's not enough to come out, okay? We recognize that when you see this level of widespread insanity, and insanity is probably the closest English word. You know, there are actually some scriptural terms that are used, and I'll come to those in the next segment here. I've mentioned one of the metaphors anyway. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. Yeah, we're talking about fake gods. Is the FAA a fake god? Certainly by some of these measures, you might assume so. I guess the point remains the same, though. When you look at what's going on and you ask, how do I come out of this? The whole world has gone blankety-blanking insane. It is so far beyond merely insane, merely self-destructive, merely outright suicidal, that most of us, we shake our heads. We say, I just can't believe it. We recoil in horror, right? I don't ever want to have to fly on a commercial flight again, but maybe that's the least of it. How can I come out of an entire country that has gone stark, raving nuts? And again, that too is an understatement. So when we get back, what I'm going to talk about are some of the things that I encourage people to think about, because guess what? There are a lot of things in Scripture, some prophetic elements that we can take a look at that give us a lot of guidance on what we can and should expect and therefore what we can and should do. And there are a lot of things that if you think about and ask questions like who benefits and how would they try to do it and what would follow next, They give us some insight into what makes the most sense, what the evil that runs this world might try to do, and how, maybe some things that just plain don't make sense, and what it means that we need to be thinking about and planning for. Which takes us to the break, and we'll be right back.
We're killing our babies before they are born. Stand up and be kind and come and sound the alarm. Are you one of God's children, but nothing but the devil's pawn? Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on?
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the Come Out of Her My People Show, second segment. I'm your host, Mark Call. Today we're talking about a number of things that point in a, well, singular direction. The insanity, the economic meltdown, I didn't even spend a lot of time talking about that, the societal meltdown that's been so carefully planned, the plandemic that's already planned, and you better plan on it too. All of those things essentially that show, the old communist pinchers theory, pressure from above, pressure from below. I have said for years, because they have been telling us, that the way this is all going to play out ultimately is an attack on every front, probably awfully close to simultaneously. In other words, world war, economic meltdown, civil war, terror, you name it, no food available, no energy available, all of those things coming virtually at once. And when you start to see one of them and you start to see the reports of terror, expect that you're going to see the other things come very quickly, almost simultaneously. So what I want to do, I've been working up to a thought experiment, and I want to try to go through this. I encourage people to do this. This is the way Albert Einstein used to teach relativity and some other things, right? You probably already heard about imagining a train moving in one direction at nearly the speed of light and so forth. Well, he called those thought experiments, and I like the term. I think it's useful as we run scenarios through in our minds. And they imagine, you know, if I was an evil, satanic host, given what I know about Scripture especially, how would I plan what Scripture's already told us is going to happen and the bad guy is going to do? Well, in other words, how about this one? How to destroy Western civilization. We've seen so many elements. You put a senile criminal mob boss in place in the only country that might stand in the way of what you've got planned. You destroy much of civilization and the economy with, fake money for a century or so. And then you kick it all off and top it all off with the Zyklon B injections, the bioweapons, the meltdown, the World War III, and so forth. So we've already seen the moves to destroy the energy economy. We know that the intent here is to kill millions. The communist Chinese, for example, have said they intend to take over North America. They intend to kill every single American, especially white Americans, but if there are black Americans and Hispanic Americans that really understand those once self-evident truths, I'm sure they want to get rid of them as well as everybody else, because they're going to replace them with communist Chinese invaders. And they're making a good headway down in the southern border already. The other thing that you need to know, of course, is that they had that one-child policy for so many years. They have promised a lot of their military-age males, hey, you're never going to get a Chinese girl, but maybe you can get some American girl to rape and call a wife once we take over that country. So that is on one hand, one of the many plans. I think you have a whole number of senators and congress critters and local officials that have all been bought off that are probably thinking, oh, well, I'll get a piece of that pie when the communist Chinese come in and take over, besides which they're already sympathetic to the communist goals and psychology and philosophy anyway. But wait a minute. See, here's the problem. This is why I think this thought experiment is useful. How do we do this? Right? Remember the Wicked Witch of the West? The question is how? Because, you don't want to hurt the spell. So if they, for example, destroy the power grid, let's say they use an EMP and take out the power grid, and we know that that will kill 90% of Americans within 1 year. The DOD has already said that. Well, that's great if you want to kill all the Americans, and so many do. But wait a minute. Then when you take over, you got the problem. The power grid's still down. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a way to take over the country and still keep all the stuff? Just get rid of the people. Well, one of the ways to do that is with a neutron bomb. That was the point. That's why, well, it looks like it was Bill Clinton and others, but maybe he had help in George Bush and predecessors, gave the neutron bomb and some interstaging technology and so forth to the communist Chinese. So the neutron bomb is one potential answer. I think that is a real possibility, but honestly, in the thought experiment, I can't help but think now there are better ways to do it because the Big Brother back doors are already in the system. I don't think for a second that NSA doesn't know how to get in the back doors. If they do, and many of them are on the take, why? Because, well, guess who runs the District of Criminal Swamp besides the deep state? Is there a difference between the communist Chinese and the other communists in the deep state? Well, you know, there are no doubt battles between the various types of black hats. But certainly, it's true. Cyber attack has got to be high on the list of ways to kill people off and take over their stuff. You just take down the grid for a few days. You let people fight it out. You can start your civil war that way. They won't know what's going on. They'll start killing each other. The banking system will go down. The EBT cards and the other payment systems will go down. People will panic. There won't be deliveries of gasoline, much less food. People will panic. People will die. Hey, that's a big winner. And as long as they don't destroy too much of the infrastructure before they die off, that's a winner. Okay, well, we've already seen bioweapons. And they did a really good job on the bioweapon, but as of yet, they haven't killed as many people as I'm sure they're hoping to. So what am I getting at here? Well, if we think through the various ways that this might play out, we have to say it's the goal of the invaders to keep as much of the infrastructure as they can. Admittedly, they want to kill off as many people as they can. That's number one. And if they can't do what Deagle and his report said, kill off 90% of Americans one way or another, I'm sure they're willing to pull out the stops and invoke the nuclear war card as well. And certainly the Biden Fuhrer wouldn't stand in the way because he doesn't have the brains to stand in the way of the potty when he needs his diapers changed. Where does that leave us, right? I don't think the immediate plan, at least it's not in China and Russia's interest, to provoke a global thermonuclear war. Again, I can't put it by the insane asylum that is running the swamp. But I do think that means that a cyber attack is probably the most likely. I guess some of the other things that I would say are very likely, given all the invaders, Hamas, MS-13, various militaries from all kinds of countries. Any country that hasn't put their military in place in the U.S. is basically just not paying attention at this point. So, yeah, I would expect we're going to see lots of military attacks, lots of terror attacks, and so forth within the country. Is that enough to destroy things the way communist China wants? Probably not. Not to take over North America. But a cyber attack that is massive enough, might. So again, I just encourage folks, the reason I'm talking about this primarily is to say think through various options and scenarios as you hear things being talked about. In Brazil, right? They're vaccinating kids down to 6 months old. They have the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They have been pushing sterilization in Africa. They've been beta testing over there. It's been very successful. Probably, we don't know yet. It's going to be years until we find out. By the time we do, it'll be too late. But if I was going to bet, I would bet that most people who have been given the Zyklon B are already sterile. They won't know it for years. And that's only if they live long enough to realize they never had kids anyway. So doesn't that solve the problem, at least in terms of a lot of people not being able to reproduce? Trouble is, that too is a bit slower. So while all of this could take years to play out, I am most concerned, and I think a lot of people sense this, that we're on the edge of a major cusp. So even if, for example, Americans have already been dumbed down and neutered to the point where they won't be able to reproduce, looks like a lot of the intent is to foist something sooner. All right, there's another aspect of this thought experiment that I probably won't spend much time on. I'm sure many people have thought about it. The idea of the alien revelation. Oh, we're here among you. I think this one is inevitable. It'll probably come in association with a number of the things that are happening in Revelation. I don't tend to talk a lot about it simply because I don't know that we can prove it. But if you've been paying attention and you recognize what Hollywood has been prepping people for and Close Encounters of the Third, you name it, pick a movie. They almost all have to do with either friendly or evil invaders or both coming to protect us or kill us. And ultimately, ultimately it all looks like something that might play out in the form of, well, what we can expect to see, right? We are the ones who seeded earth. We are the Greek gods, the Norse gods, the ancient mighty men of old, right? How's that for a great big whopping lie? The demonic elements, in other words, that'll try to pass themselves off as friendly or unfriendly extraterrestrials here to defend you or fight with you against the other friendly or unfriendly, depend upon your point of view, extraterrestrials, ETs. Okay, well then, how about AI as well? That certainly is another big one. If you've seen the Terminator movies and so forth, I won't put it past the forces of darkness, folks, to implement all of those. Again, pressure from above, pressure from below. So when it comes to the AI, and you say, well, how does that appear in Scripture? What are the possible ramifications? Well, remember the beast and the so-called Antichrist. As you know, I'm not wild on that terminology. Anti-Messiah. Anyway, the bad guy. We remember prophecies like a head wound, a deadly head wound from which he recovers. I can imagine 100 ways that plays out. Well, the one everybody has talked about for probably centuries is, well, he gets hit with a sword or shot in the head or something, gets killed, and then he comes back. Well, how about if he gets transplanted into an alien or an AI form and he becomes human 2.0? And he does what Ray Kurzweil's been talking about, makes the transition, the jump to hyperhuman. All of these things are at least possibilities, and ultimately, they're all worthy of thought and prayer. So that's really what I'm encouraging you. I don't intend to go in, we don't have enough time to explore all of those in the detail that it takes. But what I do, again, want to encourage is a couple of things. One, pray about it, think about it, and go through some of the exercises as we see news stories. You can test the news stories. You can test the truth of the next plandemic. How does this fit with the game plan? When we hear about the invaders having finally gotten their marching orders and opening fire and taking down power plants or whatever it is that they're going to be called to do, we have some way of testing those against the scenarios that we've thought through. There's one other element, and this I think is key, because we recognize, and I started to say this, but I think now it's going to make more sense than ever. There's a mark of the beast that we know is going to happen, right? So this is one of the keys. When we compare these scenarios, these thought experiments, to the potential ways they could play out, we have one thing going for us, and I don't doubt for a minute that some of those who serve the adversary are very familiar, probably more familiar with the prophecies in Scripture than most Sun God Day Christians. But if we read Scripture for what it says, even if we're not clear on the time frame and what some of these prophetic things actually look like when they happen, we still know how it ends. So we know, for example, that there is a mark of the beast that is coming. I would say that's a lead pipe cinch. It was one of the several things 20-plus years ago that convinced me the Scripture was real, that it was what it says, because I could see it. I could see how it was going to be sold. I could see from an engineering standpoint. I worked in advanced technology at IBM in those days. I could see how all of this was going to play out, how the chip technology was already available. You could buy it. You could inject it in animals in the early 1990s. It's not a great leap to recognize, hey, that's the kind of technology that, wow, John in the book of Revelation was talking about 2,000 years ago. So when we apply that razor to the various scenarios, we have something else going. We know how it ends. So, for example, they want to destroy Western civilization. They want to kill as many Americans as possible. China would like to kill all of them. Maybe others would like to have different numbers of people killed. I'm sure that those in Washington don't care how many they kill. They want to kill as many as possible. They just want to make sure that they get to have the goodies and the little boys and girls in their underground bunkers and continue to do what they need to do. And, you know, they have their jets and they can fly to the now empty, wonders of the world and national parks and so forth. But one thing we know, if they kill and destroy and completely take out the entire power grid, and it's destroyed literally long term, right? Like an EMP might destroy it for so long that it would take decades to build back for a lot of reasons. But one of them is bootstrapping, right? If you can't move trucks because you don't have fuel, so you can't deliver things that you need to repair the power grid, but you don't have anything to pump the fuel, so you can't, and you don't have any people to do the work, right? You see how it's kind of a feedback loop? Well, that doesn't work. So if you want the mark of the beast, you have to have at least some tech. They have to be able to keep enough tech to implement the mark of the beast. They need their control grid, their Internet of Things to be able to track you so that Satan and those that inhabit this AI that they want to build, that's the global world controller, can know all, see all, control all. Know where you're going, what you're doing, what you're thinking. They'll predict it, and they'll put you in their 15-minute cities and so forth. A lot of this doesn't work if they kill all of the people that maintain the things and if they destroy the power grid. So as we put these scenarios together and think through them, remember, one of the keys, we know how it ends. So we know that since the mark of the beast will happen, don't know when, don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I thought at one time it was going to be an RFID. I think now it could be nanotech and injected. There are elements to the new advanced technology that goes far beyond anything I could have seen or known about directly in the early 1990s, even though I had my finger on the pulse of a lot of advanced research in those days. Hey, a lot of time, a lot of water under the bridge since then. The mark of the beast has gotten nearer, and the technology has gotten lots, literally light years, better. So what else do we know? Well, we know that there are some things that are also going to happen, and they'll fit. And this is where I'm going to suggest these thought experiments will help us to understand how we need to react and what we need to do. So here, for example, is one of them. The 15-minute city, we've heard about this. It's all part and parcel of the UN climate change BS, the green agenda, the carbon, let's destroy people by not letting them exhale carbon dioxide. Well, unless they do it in their mask, in which case they can rebreathe it, but it won't do plants any good. So much of this idiocy, in other words, is tied up in this UN climate agenda and killing people that way. And you've heard about it, the 15-minute city. It's part of the UN 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. And, oh, yes, they've already been coordinating and pushing this. And I have a piece here that I'm going to just read a couple of comments from AltMarket US by Brandon Smith. He says, a lot of folks are arguing that most of these cities, the big cesspools out there, are already 15-minute cities. All the necessities, all the things that you're going to be allowed to have anyway, they're within a 15-minute walk. That is, if you're silly enough to go out unarmed and you don't get raped or mugged or step in a pile of, let's just say, brown stuff with discarded needles in it. It's a single, comprehensive, Orwellian vision. It includes removing motor vehicles, and what vehicles there are will be controlled, and AI-powered EVs so that they can shut you off if you don't have your Communist Chinese credit score high enough. Removal of private transportation, roads, monitoring everybody's electricity usage, your food, your calorie intake, you name it, complete control, biometric surveillance, stacked urban cities, you'll have your little tube you go into and sleep, you've seen the movies, cashless societies, inclusion, equity, and other kinds of PCBS, population control. It literally is a modern version of the feudal system of medieval Europe. Remember the idea of the feudal system? The serfs, the peons, were bound to the land. Folks, that is exactly, and I've mentioned this for years now, that is exactly what is planned. It is a return to medieval feudalism in literally every way. Remember, the animals all belong to the king. You used an arrow and you took a bunny. It was the king's bunny. You're going to die, peon! All right, these things are utterly centralized, like a hamster cage, says Smith, and you are the pet. Understand that. But wait a minute. I can't help but think it's really worse than that. The 15-minute prison cities are really a 15-minute asylum. Remember One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and some of the movies like that. Jack Nicholson, you have an idea about what's going on. I don't have time to do this story, but I'll mention it briefly. The Devil Mouse, Walt Disney, the insurrection down there in Florida. Turns out that there's new information saying it was more illegal, more subversive, more substantial insurrection against the constitutional government of both Florida and the U.S. than, well, even the J6ers at their worst have ever been accused of doing. For decades, Disney has effectively controlled the board in Florida that was designed and set up to control and oversee its own properties. DeSantis recently stepped in, tried to put a stop to it. We'll see how that plays out. But essentially, the corruption has been revealed, and how both entities, the board and those that ran it and that one hand fed the other, how it all played together. their cozy relationship. The board, the report that's been issued since all of this has come out, found that Disney promised to build all kinds of wonderful things in exchange for their fiefdom, including hospitals, schools, libraries. Their special governing arrangement made this part of the deal, but they did none of it. They didn't build any of it. And it was described instead as what they built, an absolute monarchy over the Florida property. Now, here's the report says, Disney had wholly outmaneuvered the legislature. They pulled off an incredible act by establishing an extra-constitutional governing authority, an absolute experimental monarchy within the borders of the state of Florida and the United States, one that strikingly resembled, without exaggeration, a kingdom of yore. In other words, a medieval fiefdom. And there's all kinds of details about how they did gifts and, you know, greased the skids and bribery and so forth. Kind of describes, if you think about it, the entire concept of federal government in the United States now. But due to the size and political influence of the devil mouse, say a number of the commentators, you can guess what's going to happen, can't you? I even saw an article that had a picture of a Disney $500 gift card with Mickey and Minnie on it. And if you look carefully, folks, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. They have an erect penis with a hand grabbing it that's right there on the front of this gift card. This is how blatant the pedos that run this abomination are. And that, too, is part of the bigger picture here. Now, why do I mention all of that in the same concept? Because Disney and what they did in Florida, their local fiefdom, is... Think about it. It's a microcosm of exactly what the 15-minute cities are supposed to do. Imagine having to live in the Magic Kingdom and you can't get out, you don't have a car, and you can't even go more than 15 minutes from home if you walk and risk getting gang raped or mugged. This is the plan. So on every front, what I'm encouraging folks to do, again, think through some of the things that are likely to happen. I guess one of the obvious takeaways from this is, whatever you do, don't sell your property in the country and move to the 15-minute city. Oh, they're going to make it sound really good. And if you ever saw, not A Clockwork Orange, no, the Charlton Heston movie, Soylent Green is people! Yeah, don't volunteer to go into anything associated with what Big Brother is pushing. Don't take their poison poke. Don't let them teach your children, because they're not going to teach. They're going to indoctrinate and destroy, and so forth. In other words, what I'm encouraging folks is a lack of trust. And let me begin to wrap this up by saying, if we think all of this through to its logical conclusion, I'm going to go ahead and just throw out what I think is the general conclusion here. The Bible is real big on talking about paganism. What's paganism? Well, it's idolatry. It's putting other gods in place of the one that wrote the book, the one that is our real creator. And let me see if this now makes more sense than if I'd said it at the top of the show. Paganism is literally identically equal to insanity. Do you see it? This is exactly what I was describing with Disney, with the perversion. It's exactly what I've been describing with literally everything we've talked about today. Paganism, idolatry, is identically equal to insanity. Worshipping things which are not gods. Whether it's the alien invaders that are fallen angels or demonic or AI, does it really matter? They're not God. And they're going to tell you, pay no attention to that real God who wrote a book that we're not even going to allow you to read anymore. So what I think is the real bottom line here is, do not be deceived. Hey, have we ever heard that before? Choose this day whom you will serve. But it's bigger than that. And what I really want you to think about as we pray about and understand, not only the thought experiments, we do know how it ends. We know what the adversary wants and how he intends it to end. We know how Scripture tells us it ends. By the way, it ends. It ends with a huge part of humanity being destroyed. Can we see that yet? Yeah. What do we know that Scripture tells us? Well, the overcomers are the one who survive. The remnant, and I believe that I think it's not that difficult to show that a remnant is probably 10% at best, maybe less than that. What does Yeshua say? The way that leads to destruction is broad. A whole lot of folks are going to go that way. Meanwhile, the path that leads to life, to salvation, is narrow. And few there be that find it. That's not what the whore church is going to tell you. That's not what you're going to hear from the whore public-private partners of the whore church. The ones that licensed it and gave it its tax exemption and all of its protections. One hand washes the other. Have we heard that before? Don't enter the whore church. Don't enter the 15-minute whore cities. Don't enter the magic kingdom. And for crying out loud, do not be deceived by the paganism. And that's what it is. The whole idea of an AI God is nothing but the biggest deception on the pagan front. You know, it makes the gods of wood and stone look tame. But remember, what is a pagan AI God? Ultimately, it's kind of a form of stone. Isn't silicon one of the more common stones on the planet? So the more things change, the more they stay the same. The more we begin to see it, the more connections are obvious. And the truth remains, we know how this ends. So we can think our way through some of the ways that we might get there. But ultimately, the good news is we've been forewarned. We have the information we need. And if we approach the problem prayerfully and with some knowledge, we know what we need to do as well. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.